Can you guys hear
There
me?
we go. Now we can hear you.
Hello, guys. I'm a Muslim. Well, I'm having issues with my faith. Sam, it's nice to talk to you. You are actually the person who, has caused issues for me in my life because it began a few months ago on the Patrick Bet David podcast, and that was the first time that I had really tried to understand Christianity, because for the longest time I thought that it sounds crazy, but I thought oh, Christians, because I thought that Christians accepted Muhammad, but they just worshipped Jesus. So that was the first time I started having issues in my faith. So, the first real issue that I had was Quran 9:30, the verse about Ezra. That was the problem I had. I was like, I actually went to meet a rabbi and I asked him, I said, "What do you guys think about Ezra?" And he said that, he was their second temple, like, rabbi, and he was the one, he's important for them, but they don't worship him. And then I started going down the rabbit hole, and I was just waiting for someone to, beat you. I was waiting for someone to, finally just
Yeah, like
take
defeat
you
me
out.
argument. Well,
Yeah, but
Cameron just defeated me in 1 Corinthians 8:6 because it means Jesus sustains all things.
demolished.
He destroyed me. Go ahead,
Actually, I didn't hear that. I wasn't here for that, but I was just waiting for someone to beat you, but it hasn't happened yet. But that being said, like I still
Sure.
have issues with the Trinity.
Sure,
I don't
ask.
believe in the Trinity.
Brother, if I can explain the Ezra
Yeah.
thing for others here, they probably don't know what you mean. For others, in
Oh,
chapter
yeah.
9, verse 30, chapter 9, verse 30, Surat At-Tawbah, verse 30, it says, and the Jews say Uzair is the son of Allah. And supposedly Uzair is Ezra. So did you hear what he said? He went to the rabbis and asked them about Ezra. They said, yeah, Ezra was a rabbi of the Second Temple period, but we don't worship him as the son of Allah. So this caused problems for him because the Quran says that the sin of the Jews is that they believe that Ezra is the son of Allah, similarly to the Christians believing that the Messiah is the son of Allah. So he saw the Jews don't believe this, and that caused problems for him, because then why is the Quran misrepresenting what Jews believe? So I just want to know what people.
Actually, some Muslims have told me that it was a small sect that believed that it's not a mainstream sect of Judaism
Never.
to believe that.
There's never been a sect that has believed that.
Yeah,
In
no.
fact, where Muslims are going nowadays, I learned this from Khalil Andani. Have you heard this, Sam? How they're trying to identify Uzair as Eleazar?
Eleazar? No, I've heard them actually some attempt to say it's Osiris.
So that's different. Yeah, the Metatron or whatever. Yeah, no, that's different.
No. Osiris, the Egyptian god. What Metatron?
The two powers thing. Anyways, what I was gonna say though is that there's I'm blanking on the name. Anyways, there's new attempts in the scholarship now to identify this figure because they're called the Son of God in I think the Talmud, some Jewish source, and so they're trying to identify Uzair as someone other than Ezra. So
Eliezer?
that's sort of what's currently going on.
And they're saying it's Eliezer?
Yeah, they're saying it's Eliezer, which was a
How do
rabbi,
you get
but
Uzair from Eliezer?
there's a like two-part connection of how it happens, but it's too much to go into right now, so it's not even really the topic tonight, so we'll
Oh,
maybe do
yeah, that
something
was
else
more
on that later.
interesting. There were three big, issues in the Quran. The Ezra one was the first one I had, because it was on the PBT, the PBD podcast that I heard it first. I was like, what is this guy talking about? Because like I never really hear the Jews talking about Ezra. The second one was also the where I've forgotten what verse where it says that, oh, do not take Allah's three gods Mary,
Yeah, that's
Jesus, and
chapter 171. It says, say not three, and then chapter 5, verse 73. They are disbelievers, say Allah is the third of three.
And then
you know,
575 seemingly puts Mary in the Godhead.
I didn't understand Christianity well, so that's why I started listening to guys like Sam, David Wood, God Logic, and, you know, if you're going to straw man Christianity, even Catholics who people feel are kind of like exaggerating, you know, Mary, none of them have ever said that Mary's part of the Trinity. You know what I'm saying? That was also an issue for me. I was just disturbed by that.
You said, yeah,
my issue with the Trinity is that, like, yeah, my issue with the Trinity is that, like, I've been listening to you, and, you know, I will accept that Jesus is Kalimatu Allah. Jesus is the Word of God.
All right.
I don't think it means that He is God. And I also do not believe that the Holy Spirit is God.
Okay. Right? Well, let's
so I believe that. Yeah. So my first question to you is about there's a figure in the Bible called Melchizedek.
That's not going to help Christians. Melchizedek, Hebrews 7:3.
No, I'm just asking because, like, Christians kind of like retroactively place the figure of Jesus on him.
Brother, I'll get to Melchizedek. That's easy. It's Hebrews 7:3. I know what you're referring to. All but right. Let's come back with Kalimat Allah, the word of Allah. You said you accept He's the word of Allah, but is the word of God created?
That's a difficult question.
Well, you got to answer it, man, because if you say created, that means God went from not having a word to acquiring a word. So that means there was a change.
All right, the issue with, you know, the whole uncreated, like created thing is, like, you know, I don't know. Like, there's been issues with that. People also have questions. Is the Quran created?
Brother, I'm not talking about Quran right now. Forget the Quran, whether it's Kalimat Allah, Kalam Allah. I'm asking you the word of God, the word that God has. Does He always have it, or did He acquire it?
I think it's acquired. Because
then that means God, you're saying your God was mute and speechless, and He had to acquire speech. And there's a change in the nature of God.
No.
Yes. Because He went from not having a word to having a word, right?
All right.
He went
from
not having
the
word to having
a
word, right?
Fine. He's always been able to speak then, because he was not a baby.
Okay, so then the word is not created.
Yeah. Fine. That's the issue I'm having.
Yeah. Okay. So His word is not created, and if we say Jesus is the word of God and He comes from God, then there means there's an aspect of Jesus that's not created. But the aspect we would say we'd attribute that is created is the human nature, the physical body He took from Mary, right?
Yeah.
That has the beginning. That's part of creation. But He as the word comes down. So you took it step by step.
My view on it is that, like, Jesus is the physical incarnation of God's speech. That's the way I saw it. That God's speech has always been eternal. Yeah, it's not created.
So then there's a aspect of Jesus that's uncreated. And who besides God is uncreated?
I mean, see, the thing is, I don't believe that the Quran is created, but I don't believe the Quran is God either.
Brother, we'll get to the Quran, I promise you. Even the Quran's going to cause you nightmares. If you jump to another point, then we're not going to get to the next point. Even the Quran, your belief is going to cause you nightmares. I'll get there. See, I cannot go from one point next if you jump to other points that you think are related. Let's take it step by step. You just said the speech of God is uncreated. And you said that Jesus is the physical incarnation of speech. So if Jesus is the speech that became flesh, that means you just affirm there's an aspect of Jesus that's uncreated. So who besides God is uncreated?
No one.
So if the speech is uncreated, you just said the speech is God too?
No, I don't think the speech is God. I don't believe it's created, but
God is uncreated. Only God is uncreated. So if the speech is uncreated and only God is uncreated, so is the speech God too? If you say no, so you have now two uncreated entities?
The speech is the thing. Let me walk back on that. Let me walk back on that. I would say that something being uncreated doesn't mean that it's God. Not God is not the only uncreated entity.
Oh, be careful, man. Astaghfirullah. Then you make multiple uncreated beings that are independent from each other. Oh, astaghfirullah. Oh my goodness.
No, that's not sure. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not sure because
is the word uncreated and separate from God?
It's uncreated. It's not separate from God. It's not
good. So good. So if it's not separate from God, what kind of quality would this speech be? Would it be divine speech? Would it be human speech? Would it be angelic speech? Where'd everyone else go, man? Am I the only one here?
It's
we're here. I just put you full screen for a second.
Say it again. I can't hear. What? Divine. All right. That's then you just became a Trinitarian, because that's what we mean when we say Jesus is God. He has the nature of God, because if he's the Word of God, he's inseparable from God and has the nature of God. And if he is God's Word and God's Word is uncreated, then Christ is uncreated. And so his nature would be the nature of God. So you just agreed with us, because if the speech of God is inseparable and it's uncreated, and then the quality of that speech would be divine or deity, that's exactly what John 1 is telling you. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, as to his nature, was God. But because they're inseparable, they're not two gods. So now you're a step closer to Trinitarianism. So where's the problem?
My issue is, you know, my issue is that with John is that I don't think John ever, in the whole book of John, ever says that Jesus is God. You know,
that's irrelevant to what you just said to me. See, you're going down to another tangent. He did say he's God in John 1:1. The Word was God. Ke Theos en Hologos. And in John, Thomas says to him, the Lord of me and the God of me. But that's irrelevant to what we're talking about. You said, I'm going to walk you step by step what you said. The speech is uncreated, and yet God's speech is inseparable from him. And yet, because it's God's speech, it's divine in quality and nature. In other words, that's simply another way of saying God's word, God's speech is God in nature. That's John 1:1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God in nature. So we got there. But then you admitted Jesus is that speech in the flesh. So then you're admitting that Jesus is the uncreated, eternal, divine speech who became flesh. So where's the problem?
If I say that,
you did say that,
I'll go to hell. I'll go
no,
to hell.
No, you won't, because the true God says you're right. You keep assuming
I don't
Islam
know
is
if it's the truth.
Well, you that, already saw it, right? You already start doubting Islam.
Yeah, but the thing is that I know you're going to laugh, but I really believe that God speaks to me through the Quran. Like, in the past few months, God has helped me. Allah has helped me, you know, overcome a great problem in my life.
No, I'm telling Cameron, who's frozen, bring up my screen. This is why I say Cameron's in my life, so that he can teach me patience. All right. So you're right. Saying the Quran speaks to you?
Yeah. I had a big issue in the past with alcohol. And, you know, in the past 6 months, I've not touched alcohol. My brothers, you know, in the faith have helped me.
Sure.
That's how.
Let me address that, brother.
It's not easy to leave, and also, you know how shirk.
Yeah, I know what you're.
Not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to just say. You know, I feel like I'm betraying God if I say.
Yeah, let me walk you through this, brother. I know your pain, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but I don't you to leave. And I know there's other people, and I don't want to rush through this because I want to deal with you. Okay, let's take it step by step. Just because you feel that the Quran healed you of alcohol and God speaks to you through the Quran, that doesn't mean it's from God, because I can give you testimonies of any major religion, not just Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, that people were transformed from an immoral lifestyle or a criminal lifestyle because they believed in something and it impacted them, let alone all the people who follow Jesus Christ and believe he's God and their lives being transformed. So that's not a good argument to show that what it can be is a satanic deception, that Satan sees he's losing you, and therefore, in order to rein you in and convince you, no, this is the truth, he will then do something to help you better yourself, and that's the deception, because Satan appears as an angel of light, and as an angel of light, he can appear doing good stuff to convince you this is the path, not that path. So that doesn't tell me God spoke to you. It tells me that Satan's deceiving you because he's afraid he's going to lose you. Because here, let me show you what the Bible says. All right? We're going to talk about shirk in a minute. Here it is. It's going to be verse 15, or 14, I'm sorry, but I want to read 13 and 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 15. For such people are false apostles. That's what we say about Muhammad. Deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. See, Satan doesn't come up as Satan. He knows you're too smart to follow Satan. So he's going to appear the way you want him to appear, as an angel of light, preaching good, promising good, in order to entice you to keep on this path. So all you've told me is Satan deceived you. That's all you've told me. Because if the Quran is from God, then these problems that you saw in the Quran that cannot be resolved cannot be attributed to God unless you believe God inspires mistakes. But the Quran itself says the proof that this is not from God is if you find mistakes in it. And you just admitted you found mistakes in it. It says, the Quran tells you, you want proof? This is not from Allah? Try to find many mistakes in it. You just admit you found mistakes.
Yeah, yeah,
so it's not from Allah, even by the Quran's own standard.
But even you would admit that, you know, you would admit that in Quranic transmission, there may have been in the past, like maybe missing verses.
But that's an argument against the Quran, my brother in humanity. You just destroyed the Quran again because the Quran said he'll preserve it.
No. I didn't destroy it. I'm just saying that.
No, you did.
You could still believe in the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, admit that maybe down the line some of his transmitters had made mistakes.
No, you can't. I know what you're saying. No, the Quran tells you that Allah will preserve the message, which means he'll preserve the Quran. If you now admit to me that the Quran has been tampered with, you just proved the Quran lied. Here it is, 15 verse 9. I'm not making it up. The Quran's own tests, whether it's sure or not, you just admit failed. Here, chapter 15, verse 9. Lo, we reveal the reminder, dhikr, which they'll tell you it's the Quran, but it's more than the Quran nonetheless. And lo, we verily are its guardian. You just said that through the transmission, things have been, which means this verse is a lie.
I didn't say that. I said it's possible that could have happened. So it doesn't mean that.
Let's go back to the first argument then. You just said
no. What I'm saying is that what I'm saying is that the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam
Don't go to the hadith. You're changing the topic. Stay to the Quran because we're talking about the Quran. You just admitted that the Quran has mistakes. So now we're going to go back to the first point, and not change it to then something was lost in transmission. You keep jumping. I'm jumping with you. Let's come back to 482. The moment you admitted to the world the Quran has mistakes, you destroyed the Quran because the Quran says...
No.
Can I make my point, my brother? Or are you going to cut me off? Then we're not going to hear each other. Right. Let me see if you're listening to me. Repeat what my argument is.
You're saying that if the Quran has mistakes, it refutes itself.
Yeah, 482. You admitted there's mistakes in it. Here you go. Don't argue with your Quran. 482. Will they not then ponder on the Quran? If it had been from other than Allah, they would have found therein much incongruity, much discrepancy. You destroyed the Quran when you just admitted that Ezra is not the son of Allah. I asked the rabbis, and Mary's not part of the Trinity. You just admitted there are two errors in the Quran. You destroyed the Quran for yourself. I didn't do it. This is your test. So don't tell me no. You just acknowledge the Quran fails its own test. So why do you care what the Quran says? The Quran itself says, it's not from God.
The thing is, like I've said, I've also talked to Muslims about this. So they also, they are aware of these verses. They'll say, for example, that, you know, there was a minority sect of Christians proof. Who worship Mary.
Apart from your Islamic sources, I don't care what your Islamic sources say, they make up stuff. Cite one non-Islamic, historical, textual, archaeological inscription that at the time of Muhammad, there were Jews who said, Uzair is the son of Allah, and that's why Muslims should fight them. I don't care what your scholars say. Oh, there was some Jews somewhere. Give me the proof outside of the Quran. There is none.
There's none. The thing is, literacy in Arabia at the time was low. You know, we might not have that.
My brother and you, man, we're going to have to get you out of here now because we're wasting time. I'm going to make a final point. my brother in humanity. Chapter 9, verse 30 says, what Jews believe about Ezra is akin to what Christians believed about the Messiah, meaning it's not just a fringe group that said Ezra is the son of Allah anymore.
Can you pull up the verse, Sam? Can you pull it up so the audience can see?
Your timing is impeccable. I love you, brother. And the Jews say Ezra is the son of Allah, and the Christians say Messiah is son of Allah. Here it's saying the Jews, like the Christians, this is an article of faith from them. Just like all Christians at that time, the world over, believed the Messiah is son of Allah, that means the Jews also would have had a widespread belief at the time of your prophet that Ezra is the son of Allah. Where is the evidence? Because this is the passage telling the Muslims why they should fight and subjugate the Jews because of their belief. So don't tell me about one small group in Arabia that no one knows, or there's no evidence for their existence because your Muslims say it. This is supposed to be akin to what Christians believe. And just like the Christians all over the world believe this, that means I should expect to find Jews all over the world believing this. Name them for me.
Name them. They don't exist.
Your Quran is a lie. That's it. It's over, man.
Yeah.
Stop fighting. Tawfiq,
I think what's going on here is that you're, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way, I think you're experiencing cognitive dissonance. And so you're experiencing like this is a very, you know, important belief for you, your Islamic belief as a Muslim. It's part of your identity. It's part of who you are. And you're coming across something for the first time that is shocking. And so it's a shock to your system and you're trying to figure out what to do. And that's why you brought up the fact that you've, you know, been able to give up alcohol because of this and you've had this experience and stuff. And so you're trying to like figure out like how to handle this, how to deal with this. And part of it is just you've got to open your heart and your mind to the possibility that there's something else out there that's true. And it could be Christianity is true. I mean, we're all Christians. We yep. think that is the truth. But what's cool about Christianity, and I'll leave you with this, is that Christianity, unlike Islam, we have a lot of evidence for the truth of Christianity. And so we don't have to rely on like these personal anecdotes or these feelings or like, you know, I had this one experience this one time that made me feel really good. And you can go and watch other videos that talk about this, but there's so much evidence for the truth of what we believe. And that gives me a lot of comfort when I'm experiencing doubt myself, is just the fact that there's so much out there. But I just don't, I feel like at this point, it's almost like pointless to really go on. Like I want you to just leave with the fact that, or I want you to just think about it as we go on from this. I want you to reflect
Tawfiq, take my
email. Before I leave, no problem. I just wanted to say that another person who affected me, that really disturbed me, that shook my faith was Paul.
Who?
Because he kind of, Paul, the apostle. Because I felt there was a video of, I think it was David Wood, where he was comparing Paul and the prophet. And he said that Paul, he went through the Mediterranean. He was getting beaten. He was getting, you know, flogged. And also, like, I've just been feeling, what did he see on the road to Damascus? He wasn't some crazy guy. It wasn't like, if it was like some guy, like maybe, you know, Rasputin, who was like unhinged. He doesn't feel unstable. So that's the thing that's been
causing issues for me. You're on your way. Because, you know, Paul was a brilliant, very well-educated man, and he showed no signs of being demonized, unlike what the Muslims are saying. So you're on your way. But what I want you to do, because there's other people waiting, and I want to talk to you, just you and I, take my email, contact me. You come on my live stream, we'll talk.
Yeah, I gotta go study.
All right, yeah. You let me know.
Test, but,
all right.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Wow. Wow. I mean, that just proves that this is all worth it.
My brother, I mean, that's why I'm here. You're going to sanctify and become more patient as I walk you through exegesis. And then, you know, people get saved in the process. They're seeing a new Sam.
Yeah, it's worth noting if other people are in his same kind of epistemic and psychological shoes, right? I mean, this kind of cognitive dissonance is normal in the process of any kind of religious conversion, especially, you know, for anybody who's devoutly holds their religious beliefs. I mean, I would almost, you know, right, be suspicious of someone who said that they were converting from Islam or Hinduism or whatever religion it may be to Christianity, and they didn't experience, right, a period of extended cognitive dissonance. That's normal. People shouldn't feel like there's something wrong with them if that's going on. That's a normal part of religious conversion and just a signal to, right, that inquiry has to continue.